Real good. All right, Amos chapter 8 is where we're at this morning. It's good to have a Bible. It's that's what we'll be talking about this morning. Amos chapter 8, we'll finish this chapter starting in verse 11. Man, all the back, about halfway back, it's kind of sparse back there. I look over here and there's everybody's over here. I know. Yeah, we've like switched sides. It used to be this side was pretty full. Then this side, little sparse. This side's winning now. Get your life right. Oh, Amos chapter 8, verse 11. I apologize for my voice. It'll probably be annoying listening to this voice, but I don't know. It is what it is this morning. Amos 8, 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea. There you go, from sea to shining sea. They shall wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. They that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, Thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise again. All these, the judgments here, the famine of hearing the word of God, and then what it digresses into, the end of a people. Everything revolves around the word of God. And the situation is in Israel. God gave Israel his words. Paul said in Romans, he said, the chief advantage of being an Israelite was that you had the words of God. He said, to them pertain the promises, the adoption, the glory, all those things. And then he said, the chief advantage, though, was they had a revelation from God. And so with that revelation, took that revelation from God and ignored most of it, and because of that, they stopped listening, but God said he was going to send a famine of hearing. And I noticed, I looked at this thing a few different ways, because I've heard it preached different ways, about the famine of having the word of God, of translation issues, things like that, but that's not what he's talking about. When he says there's going to be a famine coming of hearing the word of God, you could also say God's going to just stop talking to them. You ever got frustrated with somebody because they wouldn't? You're trying to get some information out of them, but they won't talk to you. All right, that's the situation Israel is in, because God has spoken many times over the course of several hundred years here. And with everything he said to them, they've ignored or reinterpreted or just basically done their own thing. And so now when they call on him, he's not going to answer anymore. He's not going to give them any more information, no more revelation coming. And he said, like Paul said in Romans, he said, the chief advantage Israel had was the revelation from God, the word of God. So now they will lose that chief advantage now. And because of that, he calls it a famine. And so when a famine, I mean, if you guys are watching Venezuela and all that stuff, you know, this is what happens when people are hungry. You know, they're just chaos and starving and just a mess. Well, when God says man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, you may not believe that, or you may not even see any application to that. But when God says that, you can know that's true. And if you don't have a steady diet of the Word of God, there is no life in you. So that being said, I'm going to talk to you about the words of life here, and then but let's pray first, and then we'll go through these verses. Father, I thank you. I do thank you for your words this morning. I pray, Lord, that get a hold of our hearts. Help us to love your words. Help us to understand life in these words. Lord, we just think so many other things about what we're doing is life and ignore what you said life actually is. Lord, I pray that we would get a hold of this. Father, if anybody here is not saved, I pray today would be the day of their salvation. They would understand their sin before a holy God. They'd understand their need for Jesus Christ, understand the reality of hell, understand that if their sin is not paid for by Jesus Christ, they will pay for their own sin. And Father, I pray, and it's not because you want them to. In fact, if they go to hell, it will be against your will that they go to hell. Lord, I pray they'd understand that. And I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. A famine of the words, of hearing the words of God. This morning we'll talk about the words of life. And in preparation for this, I was watching a couple of groups of folks on videos who were receiving Bibles for the first time. And it's that stuff will bring tears to your eyes. I was watching a group over in, it was in Indonesia. I think they're called the Kamea or Kameo tribe. But I watched these folks, this pastor there, he said, you know, we've had missionaries and we've had parts of the Bible translated in our language. And he said, when the people would come and teach us, when we had the parts of the Bible that they were teaching out of, we would rejoice. But when they got to parts that we didn't have, we would just kind of hang our heads and be sad and some would cry, and it was just a depressing, sobering time. Here's someone who has the words of God, and these people in their own language, they don't have it. Well, I watched them for the first time receive full Bibles in their own language. Watched this plane fly in, he's got boxes, and there must have been 3,000 people gathered around the runway, and they made a big procession. They the elders of the tribe that come up to the plane, the missionaries got the boxes, and they are just in tears receiving these boxes of Bibles in their own language. And one of the pastors there, he prays, and he is just awestruck with what he has in his hands now. And it's very convicting to watch that, because we have more Bibles in this town than we can use. And we have less biblical understanding, and really, I don't even want to say less biblical understanding. You may know more about the Bible than someone over there in Indonesia knows. Problem is, you don't care about the Bible. They cared about the Bible. And I don't know, maybe you do care. I hope you do. And I hope by the end of this, we will care more about the Bible than we do right now. When I watch things like that, I remember you guys have probably seen the video of the Chinese folks in the basement there receiving those Bibles. Man, and they're crying over those, their suitcases are coming in, and they're opening up those suitcases and these plastic wrapped Bibles. They're opening up those Bibles, the plastic, and getting the Bibles out, and they're grabbing these Bibles and they're holding them to their chest and they're crying over them, and just, man. Would to God that I would love my Bible that way. Man. So that is one side of it. Other side of it is people who have the Bible and don't care that they have the Bible. And so it is a judgment of God. Well, let me put it this way. These words are life. You don't have any idea who Jesus Christ is without this book. You don't have any idea who God is without this book. People say, I love God, I just don't like going to church, or I don't like the Bible. But you don't love God. You don't even know who God is. You have no idea what God likes. You have no idea what he said. You, like we said in Sunday school, you can live in your own little world until God invades your world with some reality. So here's Israel. Israel has the words of God. They ignore the words of God. So God says, I am going to send you a famine of hearing the words of God. You could just say, God would just stop talking to him. It's destructive silence. When God stops talking, and that's what notice the wording there. I'm not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. My prayer this morning is we would get a greater love for these words than we had when we came in here. And see the importance, because some of you might read that verse and see a famine of hearing the words of God, but you're so disconnected from the words of God, you don't care that you don't hear the words of God. It doesn't make any difference to you. And I hope before this is over, you'll see the importance, not only that, but you'll see God's perspective and the reality that these words are life. And whatever you think is going on that you call life, if it's not in line with what God said, that's not life. So God's gonna stop talking. That says there's no more preaching. No more preaching. He's not going to send any more prophets. Nobody to hear. You know, I learned the Bible. I studied the Bible on my own and all that stuff. But I learned more Bible by God sending men into my life to explain the Bible to me. I remember in Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch, he's traveling there. And he's reading Isaiah, and Philip says, you understand what you're reading? And he says, how can I except somebody guide me? I don't need a pope. I just need somebody to show me from the Bible what he's talking about. Your testimonies, I imagine the same thing. God says, you know what? I'm going to stop sending you people. I'm going to stop sending you folks who understand what I'm saying. And you're not going to hear anymore. In fact, you're going to struggle to figure out where you are in life. You're going to struggle to figure out where anything is, what's up, what's down. He said, I'm going to remove, over in the New Testament, he said it this way. He said, he that descended and ascended and all those things, he said he ascended and he gave gifts unto men. In Ephesians 4:8, gave gifts unto men. What were those gifts? He said he gave some apostles, prophets, pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now, what happens if he doesn't send preachers? What happens if he doesn't send apostles? What happens if he doesn't send, you know, Paul said, how can they preach except they be sent? But they're not sent. What if you don't have a message to carry? What if there's no mail to deliver today? What if you're waiting on some word from somebody, but there's no letters coming? You're not going to hear anything. That's the position God's in with Israel. I'm not sending you any more mail. You're not going to hear from me anymore. You can ask all the questions you want, but I'm not talking anymore. I'm done talking to you. And so you can go around doing whatever you're doing, but I'm done talking to you. A famine of hearing the word of God. God's voice has always been associated with life. All through the Bible. You know how God created all things? And God said, let there be light. And God said, let the waters bring forth. And God said, you know what that is? That's his words being associated with the very life you live in right now. His words had always been associated with life. His voice would keep Adam and Eve out of sin. If they listened, his voice would keep them away from sin and would keep them away from things that would kill them. You say, well, God's so mean, God's so... But get away from this worldly idea about God. God's voice is life. And when God, if God's voice comes contrary to your death style, then let it enlighten your death style a little bit. I say death style instead of lifestyle because we say our lifestyle. You don't have a lifestyle unless you have a Bible style. God's voice had always been associated with life. Let me show you. I'm going to show you. I want you to read. Please read these verses with me. And I'll show you these things. Look in Psalm chapter 28. It's one we've looked at before. Psalm 28, verse 1. These verses just show you the association of God's words with life. Psalm 28, verse 1. So if God stops talking, that means you're at the end. There's no more life now. Psalm 28, 1. Unto thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock. Watch this. Be not silent to me, lest if thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Lord, if you're not talking to me and I'm not hearing, whatever I'm doing, I'm just circling the drain now. I'm not living. I don't have any help. And if you stop talking, you know what that is? That's the right view of God's words. He said, if you keep silent, I become like them that go down into the pit. Let me show it to you in the New Testament. John chapter 6, verse 63. God's words are always associated with life. John 6, 63. John 6:63 says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, and they are what? Life. What I say to you, that's life. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit, they are life. Now, what about the other end of that? I don't believe the Bible, I don't believe the scriptures have any effect on my life. I don't believe that they really, really educate me in the ways of life. A lot of people have said that. Let me show you another verse. Look in Luke 16. Luke 16. I want you guys to read these verses with me so you can see the connection here. So you can get an appreciation for these words. Luke 16 and verse 27. I'll tell you what, in verse 23. This is a rich man. Rich man and Lazarus. This is the account of Jesus Christ about the rich man and Lazarus. Rich man, he had everything he wanted. Well, actually, you can never have everything you want. You'll always want more. So he had a lot. Then he died. The Bible says in verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. All right, so hell is a real place. The souls of men go to hell. It's a fire. It's painful. Verse 25, but Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, Likewise, Lazarus, evil things, but now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. So here's the rich man in hell. He says this. He says, this place is so horrible. This place is so terrible. If he's not going to comfort me, at least send Lazarus back out into the world to go tell my brothers, don't come here. That is the evangelistic mentality of someone in hell now. Now I'll watch the response. Verse 28, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear, notice that, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Abraham says this. He says, they have Moses and the prophets. That's what you have in your Bible, Old Testament. The rich man says, well, forget all the Old Testament, forget that stuff. Just send Lazarus back because he rose from the dead and they'll listen to Lazarus. You know what Abraham said? If they won't listen to this Bible, it don't matter if somebody rose from the dead. Now here's the connection. God's words are life. You know what Abraham's response is? This book will keep you out of hell. This book will keep you out of a pit. But if you won't hear, you can't be kept out of a pit. You can't be given life. Life is in these words. And if you'll reject these words, it doesn't matter if somebody rose from the dead and showed up at your house. If you won't hear what God said, you won't have life. Now, the case with Israel is this. God said, I'm going to send a famine of hearing my words. You know what that means? Your life is done. It's over. I'm done speaking to you now. And so what I'm trying to show you and help you get an appreciation of, these words, the Bible, these words are life. You don't have life outside of these words. And so whatever behavior or mannerisms or things you do that are contrary to this book, whether you claim or you feel like you're living, if it's contrary to this book, you're not living. You're dying. Maybe being prepared for the slaughter, like he said earlier in Amos. But I'm trying to first help you get an appreciation, if we can. Get an appreciation for these words. If I ask you guys for testimonies, you could probably all have some kind of testimony where once the Bible started making sense to you in your life, man, it was like the lights just turned on. And everything started making sense. I mean, it generated questions. I remember that was the way it was with me. I was studying and just I'm trying to figure out. And I really approached it like, all right, I don't know what's true, what's not true. I'm asking Lord, you give me the truth. I just want the truth. I want to learn the truth. And I started believing this book. And boy, once I started believing this book, it was like the lights just turned on. And I have to say, I feel a little bit, it's not bad to grow up in church. Sometimes I feel a little bit bad if you did, because I don't know if you have that experience. Maybe you do. I hope you do. I hope you do. But if you came out of the world and it was a change, a real change in your life. I mean, I'm not saying, you know, go live in the world so you can have a change. That's ridiculous. But I am saying, man, once these lights come on, and don't play church. You guys that grow up in church, you learn the lingo. You learn how to look the part. You learn what it looks like to come to church. But that's not life. That's not living. Believing and living this book is life. And so when Amos prophesies to Israel and he says, there is going to be a famine of hearing the words of God, God is going to shut down life now. What will follow is what we'll read here. But understand this, God's words have always been associated with living life. Second thing, go back to Amos chapter 8, look in verse 12. When people get hungry, they get desperate. People get thirsty, they get desperate. You know what you ought to remember? Because God said he would send a famine in Israel of hearing the words of God. You have God's words in your hands because God gave them to you. And God's not obligated to keep giving them to you. And God's not obligated to keep teaching you out of them. And God's not obligated to continue, but we live our lives that way. It'll be here whenever, you know, whenever I decide I want to listen. It'll be here whenever I decide I'm ready. It may not be here. That's what Israel said. So here's the consequence. People get hungry, they get desperate. Amos 8:12, and they shall wander from sea to sea. I can't help but read that thing, from sea to shining sea. They shall wander from sea to sea, from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro, frantic, to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. Why? How did you get to this state? You had it. You had the words of God. Here's what God said. I'll read this one to you. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. The Lord said this. He said, and the Lord God of their fathers sent to them by his messengers, rising up betimes and sending. How shall they preach except they be sent? Lord, sending. Because he had compassion on his people and on his dwelling place. But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused the prophets, until the wrath of the Lord arose against his people. Listen to these last words. Till there was no remedy. You know what people say? As long as you got breath, you got a chance. Is that true? He said, you've come to a point, Israel, where I can't fix you. I can't change you anymore. I can't turn you around. And the reason I can't turn you around is you won't listen to me. Are you still breathing? Yeah, you're still breathing. You still existing? Yeah, we're still existing. Well, as long as people have breath, there's a chance. I don't know if that's always true. You know, if people won't listen, there's no chance. If people will not hear God, there is no chance. Here's Israel. Till there was no remedy. So what are they doing? They wander from sea to sea. From north even to the east, they shall run to and fro. The north even to the east is you could apply that to prophecy. Assyria in the north comes in and takes the northern tribes out. Babylon in the east comes and takes the southern tribes out. You know what? And God just cleans house. He cleans out a bunch of people who won't listen to his words. And he said, there's coming a time where I'm not going to give them to you anymore. You'll be hauled off and you won't find them in other lands. They're wandering. That word, that you think about that word wandering. Wandering means no direction. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm supposed to be going. I have no idea. A good word for that is lost. I'm lost. Hosea said, my God will cast them away because they did not hearken unto him, and they shall be wanderers among the nations. An aimless search. And then a frantic search. He says they run to and fro. They're just running to and fro. There have been so many famines in the world. Just frantic, panic, hysteria. People turning things that aren't food into food. I was reading one. It was about POWs, and they were so hungry they were eating bark off trees. They were just anything becomes food. Starving. Frantic search for nourishment. What's interesting is they run to and fro, seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it. You ought to remember, you have the words of God because God gave them to you. And he doesn't have to keep giving them to you. Israel had the words of God and now he's going to withdraw his voice. He'll stop speaking. There's a place in Daniel. This is an interesting, I think it's an interesting correlation here. Look over in Daniel chapter 12 about this running to and fro thing. Running to and fro, and interesting correlation to this. So 150 years later, Daniel begs God for some answers. And Daniel gets an answer. But in Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4, look at these words. Remember he said, they shall run to and fro. It says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book. Close it up. Even to the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. That's interesting. They'll run to and fro, and just like people who are frantic for food, turning things into food that aren't food, anything becomes information. Things become common knowledge that aren't common knowledge. Things become part of the culture that have no bearing in reality anymore. He says, knowledge shall increase. It's not that learning is bad. It's that people are so hungry for an answer and they can't find any answers. God's not speaking to them anymore. So the result of that is any and everything becomes an answer. Information just everywhere. Things, like I said, become common knowledge that aren't common and aren't knowledge at all. Just garbage. Tree bark. We're going to eat tree bark. Why? Because we are so hungry. We're so starving. So there's an increase in knowledge, but there's an absence of any truth. No truth. Ridiculous information becomes common knowledge. In the New Testament, he says this, and I'll tell you what, might as well just look at it. There's two places in 2 Timothy where knowledge is increased and truth is absent. 2 Timothy chapter 3, I'll show these to you. The frantic search for answers. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'll show you this one. try to get through these fairly quickly. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 6. Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now watch this. For of this sort are they which creep into houses. How they creep into houses. I'll show you how they creep into houses. Yeah. Creep into houses. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ever learning. Oh, he said, he's talking about particularly the women here. These folks creep into houses and they lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning. What are they doing? We're always getting information. What are we not able to do? Ever get the truth? We're getting information all the time. It's being pumped in, piped in, every source. We're getting information. You know what we don't have? We don't have truth. Ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Then he says it this way over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears like dogs. I just need somebody to scratch my ear. Teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. No more truth, just lies, just stories, just information. No truth. And they'll heap to themselves teachers who produce this information. And it scratches the itch there. What was the first words he said? He said, preach the word. Why? This is life. This is where it's at. But there's coming a time where they're not going to be interested in the word. They won't want to listen. Then he says this back over in Amos. Try to wrap it up pretty quick here. After the destructive silence, you got a desperate search. I made these all kind of homiletic so it sound even. And people are in dire straits here. In that day, verse 13, shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. You know what the man in hell said after rejecting the words of God? He said, I'm thirsty. Give me something to drink. He said, have Lazarus dip his finger in water and cool my tongue. You know what he said? I'm thirsty. You know what he just said? In that day shall the fair virgins and young men, the strength of the nation, will die of thirst. Hungry, thirsty. Here's one more. You can read this one. Isaiah chapter 5. Man, something must be going on out there. Isaiah 5, verse 11. The state of the nation. People thirst. People have rejected the words of God, and now they're dying of thirst. Isaiah 5:11, woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. And the harp and the viol, the tabret and pipe and wine are in their feasts. But they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of his hands. Therefore, my people are gone into captivity because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. Watch this. Therefore, hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and the glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. Reject the words of God, and he says the consequences, hell got bigger. You know, all right, here's I'm going to take a little detour. I can see, I mean, we're pretty solemn and grave here in what we're discussing, but I'll say this. If you believe that God predestinated people to hell, you're going to have to read that verse again. Because apparently hell got bigger. That means it wasn't the right size to begin with. That means people were going there that weren't supposed to be going there. And the reason they're going there is because they're ignoring the word of God. And so it's getting bigger, not because it started out the right size. It started out as for the devil and his angels, but now souls are being poured in there. And so now it's opening up. It's growing, unfortunately. I can't help but think, if you did a study on hell is as fire, it is in the earth, all those things, hell eventually comes out on the earth, all that kind of stuff. I can't help but think when I read a verse like that, and you say, well, where is a place where there's a lake of fire and all that kind of thing? Fire and liquid, all that stuff pours out from the earth. Ever seen a volcano? I can't help but think when you see a volcano and read a verse like that, hell hath enlarged herself, and it just got bigger. It just poured out onto the earth now. Why? People won't listen to the words of God. And so a place that God had created for the devil and his angels is now growing. What do we say? We got to build more prisons here, bigger prisons. We got to make more room. Well, I've got more criminals. I told a fellow the other day, he said, talking about hell and explaining that it's like a prison. You put criminals in prison on this earth. Don't you understand God puts criminals in prison? Except his prison is just longer lasting, and people don't get out of that one. Now this, God's silence is the end. We'll go back over there to, I tell you what, before we get there, Proverbs. Show you another one. And then we'll get back over to Amos and finish it up. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 24. Proverbs 1:24. Remember, there's a famine of hearing. People don't want to listen to the words of God. However you do it, it doesn't matter that you have the words of God if you won't listen to the words of God. But it does matter to God that you have the words of God and won't listen to them. Proverbs 1:24. Because I have called and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. You won't listen to me. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me. Now watch this. Here's a famine of hearing. Then they shall call upon me, but I will not answer. A famine of hearing. I'm not talking anymore. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel. They despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them. The prosperity of fools shall destroy them. That's interesting. Prosperity of fools. Remember you told that man going to build bigger barns? He said, thou fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Verse 33, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. There is a famine of hearing. You know what? If you end up going to hell, you go to hell against the will of God. And in going to hell, or as a Christian living a carnal life, you're going to have to ignore every stop sign, every yield sign, every red light, every obstacle, every barricade God has put in your way to get you back on track. And pretty soon, you know, you get far enough. I remember I was driving out to a rig one time in Burkeville, I think, or Jasper, out in East Texas, right on the border there, Louisiana. And I got, this was in the 90s, and I got somewhere out there in Jasper, man, and you got to a point where there's just no more signs. This is back in map days, you know, no phones or nothing. You just pull out the map and hopefully you got an update map. And I'm driving out there and it's nighttime. I just driven 59 through Houston at midnight or whatever it was. Start my morning at 5:30 and get out there. And I remember looking for these rigs because the rigs aren't always in like an address. They're just out somewhere. And I'm trying to find signs. There's no signs. You know, you get to a point, after ignoring all the signs, you get to a point where there are no more signs. Just lost. No more voice. No more direction. A famine of hearing. If you end up in hell, it will be against the will of God. If you end up a carnal Christian, it will be against the will of God. If you end up a fruitless Christian, it will be against the will of God. One last thing here before we'll go back over to Amos and we'll wrap it up here. When God stops speaking, people stop living. And God's not obligated to speak to you. He's not obligated to talk. He's not obligated to keep shouting at you. He's not obligated to keep whispering to you. He's not obligated to keep giving you his words. He's not obligated to keep giving me his words. He's under no obligation to talk. But when he stops talking, people stop living. Verse 14, Amos 8:14, they that swear by the sin of Samaria and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again. I remember there's Old Testament and when remember Saul, King Saul. Use this illustration and we'll wrap it up. I keep saying that. I'll just stop saying that. I understand the tone of this sermon is like, I feel like Amos has been all kind of like rough, but it's just what it is. So Saul, at the end of his life, he starts off good as a king for a year, and then he rebels against God. There's a time where he gets ahead of God. He sacrifices instead of Samuel, and Samuel comes to him and he says, "Why'd you do this?" And he says, "Well, you know, you weren't coming. You were late. So I just thought I need to hurry up and do something." And Samuel says, "Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft." You know where Saul ends up at the end of his life? With a witch. So in 1 Samuel 28, God's not talking to Saul anymore. He's not directing Saul anymore. And so Saul goes to this witch, you know, trying to get some kind of answer. Just bring Samuel back. Samuel's dead at the time. He goes to this witch, and he's looking for some answers, you know. Go to the horoscope, go to astrologer, go to the psychic, whatever. Try to get some kind of answer. Goes this witch. And he says, can you bring up Samuel? She brings up familiar spirits and bring up Samuel. Well, Samuel shows up. Samuel's dead, but his soul comes up. I don't know how to explain it to you. I don't know. His soul comes up. And so when the soul comes up, the witch freaks out. That's not how this usually works. And so the witch freaks out, and Samuel says, "Why did you disturb me? Why did you bring me up here?" He had died, and he's in paradise. He's, you know, happy. So he asked Saul, "Why'd you do that? Why'd you bring me back here?" And Saul says, "Well, there's this battle against Amalek, and I don't know what we should do in it. And God stopped speaking to me. God stopped speaking to me." So Samuel wisely says, "If God stops speaking to you, then I don't have any answers for you either. If God doesn't talk to you, you're not going to find answers anywhere else. And so if God has closed his mouth, there's no advice I can give you that will help you." So he says, because you've come to this witch for this, he says, "Tomorrow you and the boys are all going to die in battle." Now imagine being Saul. He can't hear the voice of God anymore. He's not getting any answers about direction. And all he knows now, late into this night, is by morning time he will be in a battle and he will be dead. And he knows that. And that witch says, "Well, can I make you some cakes or something, or help, you know, can I feed you?" And Saul's, I imagine he lost his appetite. And so morning comes, and Saul ends up killed in battle. Jonathan killed in battle, all that stuff. What was the deal? God stopped talking to him. Life. What I'm saying is, when God stops speaking, there's no more life to be had. And you and I need to get a hold of that. If you're not hearing from God, there's no life to be had. You need to be hearing from God on a regular basis. I don't know how much you need to hear from God, but if you can't remember the last time God spoke to you out of his word, there isn't any life going on. The end of Amos, he says, "Even they shall fall and never rise up again." There's a verse in the New Testament, and you guys know it. Jesus Christ said, in regards to the words of God, he said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." When God stops talking, life stops happening. When God starts talking, life starts happening. And God said, "Let there be light." Life starts. And then God stops talking. And David said, "If you be silent to me, I'm like those that go down to the pit." I hope from this we can get a better appreciation for this book. I'll end it with this little story. There's a Bible back there underneath the mission board there. It's a Polish Bible. Some of you guys know the Riggs over in Poland. We support them. Brent was down here last month or something like that. He went over to Poland about 20 years ago and found out that whatever they were using as Bibles was so far gone, nobody even understood what was being said. It was all kind of a joke. And so Brent and I think Brother West and some other guys, anyway, Brent for sure set out to translate the Bible in Polish so the people could have a Bible. 20 years later, I guess this was last year, I think it was last year, maybe 2 years ago now, but was it 2 years ago? He finished the Bible in Polish, and we've got a copy of it back there. He gave us one, but finished that Bible in Polish, and man, that what a blessing. What a blessing to hear and to be a part of something like that. I told him on the phone one time, I was like, you know, this is like talking to, you know, this is stuff that would be written about in history or something, you know, people getting their own Bible now. And this happens on a regular basis around the world, you know, folks getting these Bibles. I told you about the folks in Indonesia and China and things like that. Well, since Brent's got that, since the Bible, since the Lord has now opened his mouth to speak in the Polish language to people, he said they can't keep enough Bibles around. Those things are going, I mean, they're on the third printing. He said he's got all different denominations asking to print the Bibles. And of course, he's just saying, yes, just license, you know, here's the license. Just print them. Just get the Bible out. You know why? Because this book is life. This is life. He said that the church is full. It is so exciting to see that. Hopefully, understanding that, understanding when people love this book, they have life. You know what they love? He that loveth these words, you love life. You don't love these words, you know what you don't love? No matter whatever you say or think, you don't love these words, you don't love life. I pray that we would get a better appreciation for the book that's in our hands. I pray we would love these words like we love food, like we love water. I pray that these words would be allowed to go through you on a regular basis. This is life. And God is not obligated to give us this. And he's under no obligation to keep speaking, because there's a time in Israel's life where he said, I'm going to stop talking to you. I'm done speaking to you. And once he's done speaking, life is over. Life is over. But once he starts talking, life begins. Sam, how about you come on and we'll have a little invitation time. And if the Lord